Barometers measure air pressure as it rises and falls, presaging changes in local weather. The lower the pressure, the stormier the day. Sometimes the changes are gradual and occur leisurely over time. When a drop is sudden and dramatic, any resulting storm can be powerful and destructive. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. This week, the latest edition of the Digital Consumer Book Barometer is set to be released at the virtual Readmagine Conference and Digital Publishing Summit. The Digital Book Barometer for 2020 measures the publishing climate for ebooks and audiobooks in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, as well as for Italy, Spain, Brazil, and Mexico. A sharp picture is offered of the continuing evolution of digital formats and their adoption, even as recently as for the first quarter of this year, when the cyclone of the coronavirus pandemic suddenly appeared on radar. Digital Book Barometer editor and author Rüdiger Vischenbart joins me now from Vienna with this fascinating publishing weather report. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Rüdiger.
Hi, Chris. I'm very pleased to be here again.
Well, this is important stuff you've reported here because we get a crack into how the pandemic has been impacting not so much sales in publishing, we know about that already, but about the habits of consumers. And we're looking forward to learning more about that. Give us an idea then of some general observations that you can see from your findings and particularly focus on the early weeks of the pandemic and how there were shifts seen even then in reading and audiobook consumption.
Chris, I very much like your analogy between the weather reports and what we are doing with the digital data, because in weather, you always have to pay attention to the difference between the weather of the day and the climate, which is the more long-term measure. And that's what we confront here as well, because when we looked into the first indicators about how the virus and the pandemic impacts on the digital market, we realized quickly that the first thing it did was to reinforce developments and changes and shifts that have been going on already for a while. So it did not something entirely new, but it was a strong accelerator of change and transformation. And that is very striking, but it also leaves us with a little bit uncertainty because we start only to understand what's going on in the cyclone, how you phrased the moment of impact of Corona. In more practical terms, we saw already a big pressure on price. Consumers want digital to be much cheaper than publishers are willing to offer them. And the second, perhaps more tricky thing is they make a big difference and distinction in where they take up ebooks or audiobooks by format, by genre. So it's a very fragmented and segmented picture with all kinds of tendencies and developments, which is quite a challenge for any marketeer to find their audience with the right measures to excite them.
Well, it makes me smile when I think about the picture of the consumer that you're presenting to us, Rüdiger Vischenbart, because this is a consumer who is no dummy, as we say, right? This is a consumer that is quite savvy about the choices they want to make when it comes to their content consumption in digital and physical and various formats, including now audiobooks. And so in Germany, for example, in the early days of the pandemic, we see a very important increase in the daily volume of downloaded ebooks, but then something happens. Tell us about that.
Well, we see several things. One is the entire situation was new for the people, but the people had become used to picking up digital stuff, watching Netflix, downloading a book or a movie, doing all these things. And the first reaction when the lockdown started was to really download, buy, download stuff on their reading engines and their tablet computers to entertain their kids. So children and young adult was growing like crazy, yeah, from 100% to 300% in the case of children and young adult stuff. At the same time, that fell off the cliff again very rapidly, because then they had their stock and they were busy in entertaining the kids and doing all kinds of stuff. So there was no need to refill. But the second thing that we saw, that big spike was also the coincidence of the lockdown, the big social shift, with a very strong and very popular marketing campaign on a branded content piece. And that coincided with the launch of a movie. And suddenly all these elements build up like a big storm or like a big wave. But such waves are going away very fast too. So from a marketing perspective or from a strategic analysis perspective, I must say, wait a moment, you need to be very careful in deciding what do I want, a quick and rough and important impact in a short period of time, or do I want to bet on a more continuous business? And that makes the difference between offering ebooks for download or offering ebooks for streaming or subscriptions. Because at the same time, we saw a much softer increase in streaming audiobooks and subscription and library lending of ebooks. That was more gradual, but it was much more sustainable. So there is a lot of very practical learning involved, where the crisis, in a way, is really condensing the entire situation even more. And those who want to watch carefully and those who are prepared to make the difference and to pay attention and then to reflect carefully, what do I want? What do I need to do in order to achieve what I want? That will certainly pay off. Because what we clearly know, and here I come back to the first point, acceleration of trends that we have seen long before the crisis, there will be a lasting impact. Any study on what's happening, not just in books, tells us that there will be a lasting impact around everything that is online, digital, etc.
And Rüdiger, what's incredible about this is that this is an experiment that we could never have imagined conducting before, but suddenly it's an opportunity for us to do so and to learn from it, as you say, right? So we could never have imagined a scenario where, okay, let's shut all the bookstores, let's lock everyone into their homes and see what they do when it comes to reading books.
There was all that talk about e-books having reached a peak and not really, particularly outside of the English language world, that ebooks were really somehow stuck. And that is something that we really see happening now when we compare the ebooks and the audiobooks. Yeah. And we couldn't have tested this artificially otherwise. But now we see, oh, we really did obviously something wrong with developing the ebook market. And at the same time, people did something very, very, very powerful when starting to go into the streaming and into the subscription and into the lending market. So it is really a big opportunity to correct what we thought that what we would assume to be.
And over the years, Rüdiger, you have been an advocate for marketing programs that strike at the heart of what consumers are looking for. You've said that publishers really need to pay more attention to the way they market these books, and you're seeing evidence for that today.
Yes. I very much like the basic attitude of small independent booksellers. And you will be surprised that I bring that example when I'm talking about digital. Because independent booksellers make it a point of honor that they converse with the consumers. and they know the people buying the books, and they know when Mr. X comes in, he needs for his auntie that kind of book. And when the lady from across the street comes in, she needs something different. And with digital, we can transfer that to the digital experience, provided that we pay attention.
And the other aspect of the barometer and what you cover in the report is that it's a look at two very different types of markets. You've got the German-speaking market, predominantly Germany, but also Austria and Switzerland, as well as data from Latin America. Are there significant differences between the two?
The better question would be, are there any similarities in the first place? They are totally different. In Europe, education, non-fiction, has never really worked so far in digital. And the Latin American market is all about educational and non-fiction. Because people have totally different aspirations. It's not so much about entertainment. They go to the movie or tab into Netflix or Amazon or whatever to entertain themselves. They want to educate, they want to learn about the world, and that's what they find in nonfiction. Yeah? Funnily, during the COVID crisis, nonfiction books have declined or hardly grown in Europe. People did not research all those dramatic nonfiction history of the pandemic, etc. They went for totally different things. But Latin American people, for them, books and reading are really about learning.
Well, it's interesting. So you're saying that the European market was looking for distraction, but the Latin American market was looking for an education.
Yes.
Fascinating. And as much as this is a story of the growing popularity of digital formats, and you cover not only ebooks but also audiobooks, and that sounds like an upbeat story possibly for publishers, the theme throughout it all is the downward pressure on price.
Yes. We have a reality, which is grim for some, that people are not prepared to spend in the same ways, let's put it that way, in the same ways as for physical objects. And when you just transfer a price for the purchase of a print book to a digital copy, and imagine, and this was the case particularly in Europe for the first decade of ebooks, they were seen as just another format, you know, hardcover, paperback, mass paperback, audiobook, ebook. And that was a one-on-one similarity which was assumed. And that's not the case. Now we are in the second decade at the point where we see that there are those totally different models of distribution. So continuous distribution to your doorstep, promoted via your interaction with your friends on social media. And you rather won't buy these books, but want to have them in a subscription, in a library, in whatever, like a Netflix or Amazon Prime movie, or a Disney Plus now. And here we have a value problem, because the individual creator, the author, gets much less money, and even the publishers have a hard time gaining the same revenue from the streaming and subscription model. So there is that is difficult. I don't have a pattern solution. I want to admit and underscore that is a big challenge, because you need to make the payments for your authors, for your employees, etc. So there is a lot of learning, and also, as I mentioned earlier, these things are very specific. People tap into children's books differently than into romance novels at different times in the year, at different times of the day, etc., etc., etc. So I see a lot of requirement of learning in these new technologies. And to come back to the small independent bookshop, that are certainly new steps that come to with a big advantage to the big organizations. Hachette or Penguin Random House have more ease in experimenting with them, with these things, than a small independent publisher who occupies a tiny niche. So we really face a challenge to our diversity in publishing and in books and reading.
Well, that raises the important point. So it's a diversity of providers of material, but it's also a diversity of content. And I wonder if you can address the role of bestsellers in this environment. They have been dominating on lists across the world as the industry has consolidated. Has that dominance grown in recent time?
This is a very funny picture that I see emerging. By the way, not only in digital, but also in print. Number one, looking into the barometer details that we are recording over the past years, we see in ebooks that the share of bestsellers is growing. The backlist, the prominence of the backlist is diminishing. And exactly the opposite is true at the moment in audiobooks and in streaming, where the role of bestsellers is rather declining over the first 3-4 years that we have we confront now. So I don't know exactly why people would rather go for not so upfront promoted titles, but I see a similar trend of declining share of bestsellers in print books. In the case of Germany, we did a fascinating analysis of 8 years worth of the top 1,000 fiction titles across the German market, print. And we realized continuously that the top 25 and even more the top 100 bestsellers were shrinking. So the entire craze of putting every marketing euro and every marketing dollar just on a few top best-selling titles is in a way wrong. And that is, in my understanding, even more wrong in the digital environment because it's getting, as I said earlier, so specific and so fragmented and segmented. So I guess, in a way, the few blockbuster bestsellers are more of a distraction than the real thing in order to keep the industry steady and stable.
Rüdiger Wischenbach, author and editor of the Digital Consumer Book Barometer for 2020 that is to be released this week at the virtual Readmagine Conference and Digital Publishing Summit. Thank you for your insights and thank you for joining me today on Beyond the Book.
Chris, it was a big pleasure as always, and I would be delighted to get any questions from your listeners.
We will provide a link to your website, Rüdiger Wischenbach, as well as point to how listeners can find a download for the Digital Barometer, so they have a chance to review the report and, if they do have questions, to address them to you.
Thank you very much.
Our program is produced by Copyright Clearance Center. Our co-producer and recording engineer is Jeremy Briskey of Burst Marketing. Subscribe to Beyond the Book wherever you go for podcasts and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. The complete podcast archive is available at beyondthebook.com. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for listening, and join us again soon on CCC's Beyond the Book.